17th chapter of John. We briefly looked at the words in this prayer that our Lord is giving, this prayer to the Father, as we read in verse 1 of chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. This prayer of the Lord something he does for a moment. He's our intercessor. He's our go-between. Without Christ, there is no way for you and I to stand in the presence of God. We looked at how we are glorified in our Lord. Not in anything of our flesh, but in our Lord. And as it so often is, when I'm going through reading Scripture for one message, something sticks. Something kind of grabs a hold of me, and throughout the week I consider what that message was last week, and I think, you know what? Here's another message right here. It inspires another message. Look at with me, if you would, at verses 13 through 21 of the 17th chapter of John. Before I go there, though, I have to say this. It was such a wonderful thing to hear Pastor Gene read this at the funeral services yesterday. I encourage anyone who didn't get a chance to see it. I believe it was recorded, and you can still go back to YouTube and see it. Pastor Gene looks good. Looks really good. Verse 13 of John chapter 17. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am of the world. I pray not for that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. My subject this morning, and the title for today's message, is Not of This World. What does it mean? What do you mean I'm not of this world? How can that be? I mean, am I some kind of alien or something? You know, I pinch yourself. Are we not in this world? Are we not here in the flesh right now? Absolutely. So what is God telling us? What is the Lord Jesus Christ saying to the hearts and the souls of His people? Because that's who He's praying for here. It says over in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. What is our Lord trying to tell you and I, children of God, those who believe in who He is, those who believe in what He has done, and those who believe in what He is doing right now, those who believe His word? Well, the answer to this, one must first understand what it is to be of this world. If we're not of it, it would help us to understand what that is if we know what it means to be of the world. Mark your place here in John 17. We'll come back. and turn over to John chapter 1. You could not get more clear in God's Word, in my opinion, than what John wrote of our Lord and Savior. Even though the world loves to take John 3:16 and try to make it sound like God loves the whole world and that He died for all the world, and they speak about a God who has no power, because we know some go to hell, do we not? And to say that God died for the whole world, but yet some go to hell, means that they're speaking about a God with no power. Am I incorrect in that? Right here in John chapter 1, verse 10, it makes it very clear. He, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And what does it say next? The world knew Him not. To be of this world, one does not know God. One does not know the true and living God. Our Lord spoke to His disciples and He says, "Who do the men say that I am?" And many said that He was Elijah or Elias or a prophet of some sort or another. And the Lord said to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter's answer was perfect, because it was an answer given to him by God Almighty. It was not an answer that came through the flesh of any kind, but by the Father. "Thou art the Son of the living God," is what He said. "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." To be of this world, one does not know the God of Scriptures. They do not know that Jesus the Christ, of whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily. This is what it means to be spiritually dead, to not know God. In Romans 8:7, we read this: "Because the carnal mind is enmity." It's at war. We can't even understand what the true and living God is, let alone who. "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. Only by God's sovereign, loving, life-giving grace can one see the truths of His Word." Yeah. Otherwise, people read them and they're just foolishness to them. Some think, "Well, this can't be foolishness, so let me see if I can make it fit my way." That's what they've done with John 3:16. Others have taken John 1 and they said, in John 1 where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." There are those who can't understand that either, so they've changed the Word and they said, "And the Word is a God." I don't even need to tell you what religion that is. That's a religion that believes in more than one God. They've changed the real Word of God to fit their own needs. That's what the world does. To the world, salvation must include something that man can do, something that man can understand in his own ways. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that God's ways are not our ways. Listen to the word. Listen to a word that truly describes the ways of the world. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous." This is God's word about the ways of the world. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And if that's not enough for you, it continues on. It says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher." With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of curses, cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Back in our text, John chapter 17, our great Savior is praying for His chosen people, the ones His Father hath given Him, and the covenant made between the three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. A covenant made back in the eternity past before the world was created. God the Father chose a people unto Himself, predestinated them. Why is that such good news to a sinner? Because being made known what it is to be a sinner, I know that I would have never chosen God. And how thankful I am that He chose me, even when I was rebellious to Him. God the Son, this covenant that was made between the three in one, He said, I'll go. I'll go. I'll set my glory aside for a moment and become flesh, so that I might establish a perfection, so that I might complete what it is needed for those people, those that You chose, Father. Those very ones that we read that He's praying for. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me. These very ones. He says, I will be their substitute. I will be their sacrificial lamb. I will be the spotless lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. I'm painting a picture of grace. Can you see it? Grace and love. Can you see the grace that our God has for His people? In our Bible study, we were looking in the book of Luke. Our Lord desired to have the Sabbath or the Passover meal with His disciples. He desires us like He does a bride. Perfect. But there's only one way to be perfect, folks, and that's to be in Him. He had to fulfill our perfection. And by His grace He did. God the Spirit regenerates this people, giving them life unto Himself. Going about revealing the things of Christ to His people. Oh, what grace we see in God's Word. The world is on a path to destruction, for cursed is the world since the fall of Adam. Cursed is everything that we see before us. All that is must be burned up. But there are those for whom Christ died that still need to be called. Not all the world, but a remnant. All whose names were written in the book of life must come to God. He calls them My elect. He prays for them again, as we read in 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given Me. All Mine are Thine, He says in verse 10. And Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are. We who are the called have been quickened, as it is stated in Ephesians 2, verse 1. We're quickened. That means to be given life, to be made alive. We who were dead in trespasses and sin, were made alive, just as Lazarus was given life, to hear the call, the power of God Himself saying, Lazarus, come forth. So are all of God's children. Mike Giolotti was sharing with me a story of a woman that he's doing some work on a house for. And she was all about the story of Lazarus that day because they had done a Bible study on it. She literally said that if they had not prayed for the Lord to come and save Lazarus, that He would not have. That it was all because they had done the praying. It was all about what they had done. Robbing God of His glory right there. That's what we do when we talk about us. When we talk about what we have done. When we want to brag on what we have done. We're robbing our Lord and Savior of His glory. What do we have that we have not received? And if we've received it, why does John glory about it? I know, folks, I fall into that trap. We've all walked according to this world just as though we were of it, not knowing our Lord had paid the price for us, not knowing what our Lord had done. In Ephesians 2, verse 1, you don't need to turn there, it says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the power of error, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our walk, our way in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see the picture of grace? This is a Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. Our message is sovereign grace. By His sovereign will, He bestows the grace on His people. He's the potter. We are the clay. Oh, the world hates that. If you'd have told me that at one time in my life, I know what I would have said. I run my own way. Have you not also said those same things about yourself? Oh, what wonderful words we read in verse 4, though. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive. You realize? That means we were dead. Quicken doesn't mean just give life. It means made alive. We had to be dead to be made alive, didn't we? Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Oh, I love the story of grace. More grace, and more grace. By grace ye are saved. Oh, for the grace of God. What dread there will be in eternity with the wicked. But for the grace of God, there go I. This grace is why our Savior is praying for His sheep. It's why He's praying to His Father. In Psalm 77:15, we read this, Thou hast with Thine arm redeemed Thy people, the sons of Jacob. He prays for our protection, our perseverance. While we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, He sets a picture of our intercessor, our go-between, our mediator, our high priest. He says, I paid the price. My blood has covered this one. I died for this one's sins. I died in their stead. I took the sins of this one as my own. And now this one is white as snow, no sin to be found, perfectly righteous as though they were me myself. That's what he says about each and every one of us. That's how we ravish his heart. In our Bible study, did we not go to the Song of Solomon and see where our Lord, in description of his bride, she ravishes my heart? How deep is that? We ravish the heart of our Lord. So much so that he gave himself for us. That's deep. He gave his life for us because we are his loved. And he has loved us from before the foundation of the world. Look again at verses 21 through 23 of our text. That they all may be one, verse 21, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This is what it means to be one with God. He says we're not of this world, even as he is not of this world. To be one with God means to be as righteous as he is. For God is so holy, he cannot be in the presence of sin. Cannot even look upon it. How is it that you and I can be not of this world? It's because we're righteous in God's sight. Notice I didn't say in our sight. In my sight, there's no righteousness at all. But in God's sight, thank God for His Son, there is all kinds of righteousness, perfect in every way. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to be perfect. Perfect, without spot. Not someday when we die and go to heaven, but right now. Not just right now, but before the world ever began. The Father set His love on us way back before a star ever twinkled, right? Isn't that what His Word says? So in that, if you look at it in that matter, God the Father has always looked on you and I and seen the blood of His Son and sees us as perfect right now. What does it mean to be one with God? It means to be holy. Perfectly holy. Righteous in every way. Perfect in every way. To be of this world is to be cursed. To be of this world is to be lost in sin. To be of this world is to be damned. And we who are in Christ have had our curse laid upon Him. Galatians 3:13, it says so. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Yeah. We're no longer of this world. Our walk now is in truth. We don't talk about things like luck. There's no such thing as luck. God rules over everything. Every minor little detail. He told the two disciples to go into the city of Jerusalem and there they would meet a man carrying a bottle of water. And they were to follow that man to his home and there at the upper room they would have the feast prepared. And it went exactly as God said it would be. Now, is that a surprise to any of us here? When he says, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. Can we not believe that just as well as we believe everything else that he says. When he says, you're as white as snow, you're as righteous as I am, can we not believe that just as much as we believe anything else he says? We're no longer of this world. Our walk is in truth. Our walk now is in the belief of the truth. We walk not by sight. We walk in belief of who Christ Jesus is. He's God Almighty in the flesh. And I will not argue that with anyone. He's not a God. He is God. We walk not according to the wisdom of men, but of God and what He has done. He hasn't made salvation possible. He has saved His people. We are saved. That means now. Our Lord went to the cross and said, "It is finished." What wonderful words for you and I to hear. It is finished. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Where we once walked according to the rudiments of this world, we, the sheep of God, have been called out of that darkness and brought into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk by faith in Him. Whosoever believeth in me shall have everlasting life. We believe God. Abraham believed God, therefore it was accounted unto him righteousness. In Romans 4, verse 3, we read this: "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." And then it says it again in Galatians 3, 6. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And then it says it again in James 2:23, "And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." The very same faith that you and I have, the very same belief in His Word, and who He is, and what He's done, and where He is right now, is the very same faith that Abraham had. The very same faith all of God's people have ever had. It's a gift. If it wasn't a gift, we'd all come up with all kinds of different faith. Now wait a minute, that sounds like the world, doesn't it, John? Look at all the different religions they have, the different kinds of faith they have. We who once were dead and trespassing in sin, we now walk in the life of the Lord. We walk in belief of the truth. We look for another city. We are in the world, but we are no longer of it. The world is not our home. We're just passing through. Where are your treasures this morning, folks? Are they up beyond the blue?
Yes, sir.
Or are you looking for a feather in your cap about what it is you've done? Oh, I pray, Daryl, that we all look that very same way. Look to our Lord.
Yes,
praise Him for what He has done. We are sojourners, as Scripture says. Tent dwellers is what that means. In other words, we don't have any roots in the spiritual things of this world. Our roots are in our Savior. We're just passing through a strange land. In John 14:2, we read this: "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I tell you folks this morning, our Lord will not lose one for whom He died. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh into me I will in no wise cast out. Our dear brother Don Fortner, he traversed this world for 69 years. And now, he's home. Now he's in the presence of his master. Now he can see in person the promised city of God, heavenly Jerusalem, the same city of God promised to all who believe. All who believe the total depravity of man. There is nothing in us to deserve this. There is nothing in us to warrant this. There is nothing in our flesh that will bring us to that. All who will believe unconditional election, there is nothing in us that God would have chosen us for. There's no good in us that the Lord looked down and said, oh, you know, yeah, that one's all right. Okay, come on. No. Our Lord set our names in His book of life before the world was. And He said, that one's coming. And this one's coming. And this one will come. All who believe limited atonement, the power of God's blood is effectual. It's not a possibility, it's not a maybe, it happened. Salvation is done. Our Lord said it is finished. All who believe irresistible calling. Come forth. And by the power of God, His people will come forth. All who believe perseverance of the saints. And perseverance of the saints does not mean something you and I will do, but what God will do to keep us. If He laid down His life and shed His blood for us, is there any possibility that He's going to let us go? No. Not at all. Look at verse 8 through 10 of Hebrews chapter 10. By faith. Now remember what we read in Ephesians. Faith is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned. He traveled. He didn't set roots down anywhere. He continued to travel all the time. One place to the next. This is not my home. I think I'll go over there next. Well, the Lord might have me go over here next. Or He might have me go over here next. He even told him, he says, take the wood, take your fire, and go to the mountain that I tell you to. And he didn't even tell him then, did he? He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We know. If we are true believers in Christ, then we know that we are no longer of this world. Because our Lord has said so. And as true believers of God, we believe what He says. Even the things that we don't understand. And I tell you, there's a lot that we don't understand. Brother Don Fortner went on to be with the Lord, and he'd be the first to tell you that he didn't understand, but maybe just a little. And I can tell you he understood a lot more than me. But oh, praise the Lord, he understands it all right now. If you believe God, then you are Abraham's seed. And as Abraham's seed, you look for the city with foundations whose builder and maker is God. I just want to share something with you before I close. Something kind of comforting. Bill and I used to have frequent conversations, and I've shared this with some of you. Most of our conversations would start off with things of this world. What's in the news today? And it wouldn't be long before this subject would get heated up about what the world is doing around us. And he can attest to this on how often this song would come up and change the subject. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. How about you this morning? Where are your treasures today? God help us. Just take our treasures from this world and lay it at the feet of the true treasure, the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the only treasure worth having. People ask me, what do you think heaven is like? Oh, what a wonderful thing that Don Fortner knows right now. It doesn't matter. As long as Christ is there, it'll be the most wonderful thing that we'll ever, ever, ever know. Amen.